Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Photography and Business Insight Podcast with David Fox and
Alyssa Conley.
What it takes to be successful. What does it take to be successful?
It takes a team. Have everything aligned so you can take a vacation.
That wonderful word called vacation.
Yes, vacation.
Vacation. And I hear you have one coming up.
I do. I'm going to Florida, sunny Florida. I'm looking forward to spending some time on the beach, running around, taking pictures.
And I'm so jealous.
Well, you get to go to Florida quite often. I know you're a big fan of going to Orlando and visiting the Mouse.
Yeah, visiting the Mouse. I miss Mr. Mouse or
Mickey.
I do. This year we can't go, but for good reason.
Yes. For good reason. You got a wedding coming up.
Yeah, we got a wedding coming up in August. Our son, Josh and Regina. It's going to be a fun time.
So
needless to say, the money that we would have saved this year to go away on a trip goes into the wedding fund, as they say.
Yes, the weddings are expensive.
Yes, they are. So you are heading to sunny Florida, not to visit the Mouse.
No, I'm going to stay with some friends that go to St. Augustine's every February into March for a few weeks. And Vivian's sister canceled. She was going to join them. They have a nice place to stay for a few weeks and invited me to come down for as long as I wanted to. And I decided to take a four-day vacation.
So just 4 days?
Yes. Well, I didn't want to take too much time. And I like to have a little bit of time off after a vacation because you spend so much time running around and traveling and trying to get in as much as you possibly can that it's good to have some time to relax and have time to unpack it. Organize, get back into the groove, and be fresh and ready for work again on Monday.
Ah, the old dreaded gotta be ready for work on Monday thing.
Yes, but I'll have time to unwind after a wonderful vacation and go through all the images that I know I'm going to want to be post-processing when I get home.
But you don't want to be doing that while you're on vacation.
I'm not going to be bringing my laptop this time.
Oh.
So I'm just going with a carry-on. I have a short transfer in South Carolina, so I decided it'd be efficient to just have a carry-on camera bag and pocketbook, not check a bag.
And now you have, for your camera, what do you photograph with?
I have a Nikon D7100. It photographs great in low light, and I've got a VR lens, which is also great for being able to handhold slow shutter speed, because I like doing dusk and just after sunset photography with the slower shutter speeds. I also won't be bringing my tripod this time, so.
That could be challenging.
Yeah, well, I can handhold a quarter of a second. You know, ideally, it'd be nice to have the tripod, because I like doing soft water effect with a slow shutter speed. 30 seconds is usually good to get soft water. Sometimes I like to go a little longer.
What about, like, a monopod?
That wouldn't be good for that long of a shutter speed. So, but I can hand hold if I'm well braced and hold my breath at a quarter second or 18 millimeter.
You're better than I am at 30 seconds.
Not 30 seconds, that's a quarter second.
Oh, a quarter second.
Quarter second.
I suppose
yes.
I could do that.
I would not be able to hand hold for 30 seconds.
So, when you're away, you take your Nikon D700.
Yes.
What lenses do you take with you?
I have my 18-200 VR, which is a great range. I also have a 10-20 zoom super wide, which is a lot of fun. And I have a 50mm 1.8 lens, which is a nice lightweight lens. And it's also fun shooting wide open and experimenting with the bokeh backgrounds. You can get some neat light effects.
Cool. So you'll be able to have lots of range.
Yes.
And so now you're going away for 4 days. Does that include flight time or does that include actual time in Florida?
That includes flight time. I'm leaving on Saturday, coming back on Wednesday. So
you're like down a day and then you're there for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then
right. So it's actually 3 days.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's a pretty fast trip.
It is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, you know what? You do what you can do. And that is the vacation that you plan. Whatever time you get off is the time you get off that you allow for oneself.
Right.
And that's what you can do. Me, I think about vacations in just a completely different thought process, if you will. 7-day vacations are nice. 10-day vacations are actually better. and people are like, 10-day vacations, how can you possibly be away for 10 days? Well, I think if you plan well enough, you can be away for 10 days and still continue to have jobs running, still have clients being taken care of, still having things being delivered on time. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of managing it all. My wife is really good at that. And then we've also, as I mentioned in the last podcast, we built a team.
Yes, so, that helps.
Oh my God, immensely. So it's very different than when you're on your own as a business person, or you know, you have a partner or a significant other or someone else in your organization who can handle different aspects of the business. Mm-hmm. And I think you are able to, or if you're able to grow to a certain point within the business and say, you know what, I don't have to do everything myself, when the time comes to actually get some R&R, you can now really begin to rely on those people and know that if you step away from the business, the whole thing isn't going to just fall apart.
Right.
And come back to a disaster. And I think that's a big fear for a lot of people.
I think so, yes. And I think some people also just have a fear of letting go and trusting other people. But building a team that you do trust and can rely on helps you be much more efficient.
Well, that's my feeling. So, you know, how do I plan for vacation? Well, usually it's the first thing I'll do is figure out, okay, where do I want to go? Maybe someplace I've never been before, or someplace that I have been before that I'm maybe a little more comfortable with. Or, for example, like, yes, I love going to Disney, but do I go to Disney every year? No. First of all, it's too expensive to go to Disney every single year, as much as one would love to go to Disney every single year. Secondly, you know, I think that doing variety is nice.
Yes, absolutely.
My wife and I have taken a number of cruises, and having been on some different ships, such as we've been on the Norwegian Sun, we did last April, first week in April.
Right.
We were on the Pacific Princess, and we went to like 5 different islands, and that was the really long cruise we did over the course of about 10 days.
Nice.
You know, going on a cruise is very different than really doing anything else, because everything is there for you.
Right.
And being in the hospitality industry, you become used to serving everybody else. And going on a cruise ship, you get to be served.
Yes.
So you kind of get spoiled because you are delivering to your clientele a very high level of service and quality, and that's what you expect in return.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to make your own meals. They're made for you.
Right.
You don't really have to do anything. And people will bring you drinks. People will bring you food. It's wonderful. So, you know, you can go to some exotic island and have a person who will be your butler for the entire week. Like in the Sandals or, you know, some private island or something like that.
Yeah, I went to St. Martin, but we didn't have a butler. But it was nice to have a week there because we got lots of time to explore the island and get familiar with the different places. And you know, at the time I thought that, you know, it's so nice to get to be familiar with a place more intimately, because if you're on a cruise, you only have a very brief time where you get to explore each island. You get to see more islands, but you have a shorter time.
Very true.
At each one.
Although some of the cruise ships go in, you know, they'll go on like a Bermuda cruise out of Boston at Black Falcon Terminal.
Okay.
And you can get on board the ship. You don't have to get on an airplane. All you have to do is hop a taxi, takes you right to Black Falcon Terminal. You get on the cruise ship right at the terminal in Boston, and then you cruise to Bermuda, and then you get off in Bermuda, and you basically stay there for about 2.5-3 days, and then you get back on board the ship. Well, actually, use the ship as a port, if you will, where you know, eat there, sleep there. But you can stay overnight in Bermuda if you like. You can visit all the beaches during the day, or have a chance to explore the islands or old forts that they built many, many years ago. So, you know, in a place like that, it gives you more time to explore the island.
Yeah, that sounds nice. And more pleasant to travel on a boat than an airplane.
Oh my goodness, let's not even go there with that. And then when you come back, it brings you right back to Boston, and you get off the ship, and taxi's waiting for you. It takes you right home.
There you go.
No airports, no lines, no security. Or at least security when you get on the boat, and customs when you get off the boat. But really,
no TSA.
No TSA, yes, thank goodness. So, you know, in terms of, you know, that's the easy cruise. The more elaborate cruises, or more extensive cruises, I should say, is, you know, let's say going to the Caribbean or going to Alaska or going to Europe, or then it brings you to all these more exotic kind of locales where you're right, you typically spend a few hours, a good part of a day or a full day on an island, or in visiting Rome, where you have to basically get off at the port, get into a bus or a taxi, and it takes you to Rome, which is about, my understanding. I've never been, but at least not by boat anyway. It takes about an hour and a half to get to actual Rome because it's not right at the port.
Okay.
I was listening to that in another podcast. So
lots of great information in podcasts.
Oh my goodness, lots of great information. So why do you take a 7-day versus a 10-day, or why do you take a 10-day vacation versus a 7-day vacation versus a 4-day vacation?
Well, I decided to take a 4-day instead of 7-day just because I know that when I go, it's very physically demanding because I'm running around taking pictures of everything and I'm so hyped up, excited to be where I am. You know, I just go, go, go. And I feel like, I always feel like I need a vacation after my vacation. That's why this time I decided I'm going to cut it a little short. I was originally just going to go for a weekend because I was going to be taking vacation time a couple months early. And I'm like, oh, I want to see if I can get a little bit more time because it seems like, you know, it's a good chunk of money to spend flying down there for a couple of days. And let me just see what I can pull off. And going Saturday to Wednesday seemed like a good plan, and then I have a couple days to relax before the weekend and get into the swing of things and be bright and chipper when I return to work on Monday.
Cool. And, you know, for us, you know, we've actually learned not to run on a vacation. We actually have figured out that, let's say, either when we go on a cruise ship or we go to Disney or we go somewhere else, that, yes, we will spend some time running, but most of the time we're not running. Most of the time we're sitting and relaxing and unwinding.
Which is what you're supposed to be doing. Although I am planning on spending some time on the beach, just sitting there meditating, taking in the sound of the waves, the smell of the salt air, looking at the sunlight dancing on the water.
Ooh. Again, as we look outside in the gray, dreary New England day here. Sounds so inviting. I find that we do so much running here.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day,
yes.
Taking care of clients, running out to meetings, running out to events, you know, always on, if you will.
Right.
That having the opportunity to step back from that and not do that on vacation is actually much more relaxing. So you come back from a vacation and you're really refreshed. And a 7-day vacation, at least for us, for the most part works. I found that a 10-day vacation really is better. And the reason I think a 10-day vacation is better because wherever you go, it's going to take you a day to travel.
Mm-hmm.
A day there, a day back. So you've already kind of lost 2 days.
Right.
And then by the second day after traveling, you're just now starting to kind of get settled in, starting to kind of feel your way through, you know, and sometimes it takes you to that evening or even into the next day, honestly, to start thinking, oh my goodness, wow, we're finally on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finally starting to feel like, oh my goodness, the brain starts to unwind, the body starts to unwind, and then, you know, you start to turn into a pile of goo by the third day. And, you know, someone told me, a gentleman by the name of David Lyman up at the Maine Media Workshop some years ago, that, you know, vacation has its own particular cycle, and you're really on vacation when you look at a whole 7-day vacation. You're on vacation sometime Wednesday between 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock, and that is your vacation, that 3-hour block. And that,
wow,
you're not being pulled at, that you're not, nobody needs you for anything, that you finally, your mind and your body is finally in sync with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime before that, and anytime after that, anytime before that, you're still trying to unwind, and then anytime after that, you're now starting to think a little bit about, well, Sunday's coming, and or Saturday's coming, and I'm now being, well, what do I have to start doing to start thinking about when I get back, and what all the things I have to do, and trying to pull it all together, your mind starts moving in that direction. So there's something to be said for that school of philosophy, and that can be stretched out even further when you're on a 10-day vacation, because now you've got a little bit of time in between that is not that 3-hour block anymore. So having the extra days, I think, really makes a big difference. The question now becomes, you know, how do you get those extra days? Especially if you work for yourself, it can be challenging. If you work for someone else, you know, that's asking a lot from an employer when you only have so much vacation time. I think that as your business grows, as time goes along, I think what you begin to realize is that you need that time to recharge.
Absolutely, you do.
Both physically and mentally. I mean, even if you get on an elliptical like I do, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, the rest of the time I'm running, I still think that you need that time to recharge your mind, recharge your body, give your body a chance to rest, Mm-hmm. You know, where 7 days barely gives you that amount of time, where I think 10 days really gives you an opportunity to completely relax, give yourself that opportunity and that time to do so. And then when you come back, you're much more refreshed. So that's why I always encourage a 10-day vacation. If you can, one, if you can afford to do it.
Right.
And two, if you can take the time to do it. So we're on vacation. And, you know, us, of course, we're photographers.
Yes, we are.
That's what we do. So what kind of pictures do we make on vacation that, let's say, are different than the kinds of images we make in our own familiar environment? What motivates us? What gets us going, you know, walking into an exotic place or even just wherever we happen to be, whether it's staying in a condo when you're on vacation or staying in someone's home or it's just a new environment.
Right, yeah. There are a lot of things that I'm attracted to. Bright colors, bold graphic shapes, light, shadow, texture, whatever captures my eye. But I always like to try and capture the essence of a place. And I remember when I was studying photography at the Art Institute of Boston, and I had a professor who said when he would go to a new place, he wouldn't even put film in his camera. This was back in the old film shooting days. For the first day, and he'd run around taking pictures without film. And then the next day, after he'd become familiar with the place, he'd go back and photograph it with film. And you get through the wow, this is great, and get pictures, but you really take time to think about the scene, get familiar with it, and find those little details that become a more meaningful image than the immediate response grab shot. Yeah,
that's an interesting concept, running around with no film in your camera.
Yeah, we don't have to do that, no. But, you know, obviously, you know, I can start shooting right away with digital, but, you know, I always keep that in mind. When I come into a new place, you know, I might take an immediate reaction shot, but I do like to walk around and get familiar with the area and see how things look from different angles and see how the light's falling.
But why is it different when you're in a place that you've never been before versus the place that you are around all the time?
Well, you're seeing it for the first time, so you don't know, you know, what's around the corner. You don't know if it's daylight or what, you know, what time of day, how the light is hitting something.
But it's deeper than that, because, you know, when you're thinking about, you know, your own environment where you're constantly in, for example, being here in Boston, you know, I'm down near the Boston Commons all the time. When I walk through the Commons, or, you know, I'm in the financial district or the Seaport district, and, you know, where I was last night walking through, and you see all the stuff, and, you know, it's just like, okay, I'm back here again. But you don't really, like, whip out a camera and say, oh, look at the light, how it's falling on the building, and, oh, look at the, you know, the pretty, you know, night skyline, or, you know, or that kind of thing, or how the sun's reflecting off the water. You don't tend to do that.
Well, I don't think you do, because you do events and you do that for a living. So you're out taking pictures for a client all the time. So I think shooting for yourself when you've just come from a job is not really high in your priority. You know, you've got all your work-related info in your brain. Now, when I go out to take pictures, I'm going out to take pictures for me. I don't have to take them for anybody else. When I'm out and about, I'm more likely to stop and look for the details, because to me that is, it's fun, it's relaxing. I like seeing things from different angles, and just always been a very visual person and very observant. And so it's just my personality, but also because I'm shooting for myself, so I'm more likely to be on the lookout for things that catch my attention.
And I do as well, but usually my mind is so focused on, okay, I have to get to the job.
Right.
And then I'm at the job, and then I'm done with the job, and it's like, okay, time to go home, that I don't stop and think about, oh, look at this pretty thing, or look at that pretty thing, or my mind isn't really tuned into, let's say, my environment, unless, okay, I got to cross the street, make sure I don't have a car doesn't hit me while I have my headphones in. You know, I'm not necessarily thinking about, ooh, look at the lights and the shapes and the forms and the compositions, and maybe I should be more, then I'd never get home, or I'd never get to the job, versus when I'm on vacation.
Well, then you definitely have more time to get familiar with your scene.
When you're on vacation, you have a different mindset.
Right.
So your mindset is, oh, I don't have to think about work. I don't have to think about making images for an event I have coming up this evening, or I have to be someplace, or yada, yada. It's like your mind is clear of all that. Right. So now what's left?
It's looking for what it is that you're interested in, what catches your attention, and how do you photograph that and make it your own.
Exactly. You know, if the light is falling off the palm tree leaf, you know, in a certain way, and, you know, before you just like kind of walk past it like it didn't exist, and now you kind of look at it and you study it, and how's the light falling, and where's the light falling, and what's the best angle, is this the best time of day to make this picture, or where's the sun going to be relative, or let's say it's 10 in the morning, where's the sun going to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
Right.
Is that it's a better time to come back?
Right. And depending on the time of year too, you know, closer to the sunset, you know, you're going to get a much different, softer light.
The other thing I would tell you is that when I'm out and about roaming around with my camera bag, you know, either going to or coming from a job, I've got a camera bag that's loaded with camera gear.
Right.
You know, I carry 3 bodies with me, a whole assortment of lenses and cards and card readers and laptop and yada, yada, yada. When I'm away, I don't have all that stuff with me.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't take a laptop. But I don't even do that. I bought a MacBook Air. Love it.
Yes.
Love it. Oh, my God. But, it's, you know, so prior to that, I took my iPad, my 10-inch iPad. I now have a much smaller one, of the iPad Mini 4, and I love it. It's lighter, it's thinner, and I'll take that with me. And I have a little, you know, card thing that I can stick in and take my little SD card and stick it in the bottom with a little adapter, and all the images download right to it. And I can use it as a storage device. I can go in and, by using some different apps, I can manipulate images while I'm away just using my iPad. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that's a great tool.
And I also, when I'm away, I don't take a whole assortment of lenses. I typically will take one camera body.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Canon shooter, so I take my 5D Mark III. I don't even take the motor drive with me. I take the drive off. I use
lighten the load.
Lighten the load, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I own aside from owning a whole assortment of lenses, I typically will keep it relatively simple. I find that, you know, taking the 24 to 105 is a great lens, but it's heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, schlep that thing around all day long at Disney or on a cruise ship or on an island.
It's not fun to be schlepping all day, all that gear.
It really
isn't.
You know,
it takes away from your pleasure. I went to Disney World once where I brought my camera and an assortment of lenses, and I would say I had the least fun that time. I mean, I got some great images, but I just didn't really feel I could enjoy myself because I was always carrying, and then, you know, if we stopped somewhere, I was always worried, you know, is it safe to put my camera bag down here? Is it someplace where it's not going to get stepped on or snatched?
Exactly. I know the last time we were at Disney, I've seen people, you know, carry around their camera body, and then, you know, they've got this big honking lens on the thing, and they're schlepping it around all day long.
And if you're not used to doing it, it's exhausting.
It is exhausting, and having that extra weight, aside from all the, you know, the backpacks that you might carry in with food and water and, you know, some other things, it gets heavy.
Yes.
And it gets, you know, and where do you put it? And I've learned, go light. What I learned is I take 2 lenses with me. I take my 40 millimeter pancake lens.
Uh-huh.
Camera body alone is a few pounds. But, you know, taking a pancake lens doesn't really add much weight. If I really want something, like when I was on the cruise ship, I took my 300 millimeter lens. And I would basically work with those 2 lenses only.
Mm-hmm.
Which gave me an incredible either wide angle range or a really ultra telephoto close up. So if I'm, you know, standing on the deck of the ship, mm-hmm. I'm able to either get a very wide expanse of what I'm after, or I can zoom in on something that is farthest away.
Right, and get more of a close-up detail.
Exactly. Now, should I take another lens? Unfortunately, I don't own a 135. I own an 85, and I love my 85 1.4, but that thing is like carrying around a Sherman tank. It is.
Mm-hmm.
The image quality is amazing. It is just way too heavy to schlep around all day long.
Right. Well, that's why I love my 50 millimeter 1.8, because it's nice and lightweight. And I found when I went to Acadia with 3 other hardcore photographers, and we were up before sunrise to photograph the sunrise at Eagle Lake. And by afternoon, when we were in the gardens, it's like, okay, what do I not need to have with me?
Exactly.
And I was down to my 50 millimeter lens, and that was it. everything else was in the car. I didn't even bring my tripod at that point.
Exactly.
I was shooting flowers wide open, and it was a needed rest from carrying all that stuff. And it comes down to, you know, you want to be able to enjoy yourself while you're on vacation as well.
Well, you simplify.
Right, exactly. So it's like, you know, I have my 18 to 200, which is a great focal range, and I'll probably have that on most of the time. But sometimes I want the wider lens. But I know there are going to be times when I'm just going to want that 50 millimeter on, and that's it.
Well, it forces you to simplify. It forces you to think, when I've only got this one lens or this two lenses, and that's all I've got with me.
Mm-hmm.
It forces you to think in a very different way about making images.
Oh, absolutely.
And it doesn't, you know, having a zoom lens is a great opportunity, but usually, again, they're heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not lightweight. You know,
and
for the most
not
part.
As great. Image quality.
Not as great image quality. So when you just work with a prime lens, you know that you're getting a very high quality image coming through that prime lens. Plus the fact that it doesn't weigh very much.
Mm-hmm.
Again, unless it's an 85 Canon lens. But the 40 millimeter lens, I have a 50 as well. And I choose to take the 40 because it's smaller, lighter, flatter.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have that one, the one body, which weighs enough. And I'm good. You know, the general rule is simplify, simplify, simplify. Force
yes.
yourself to just only take what you need. When I go on vacation, I never even take a flash with me. You know, and I own, you know, the 600 RT flashes from Canon. I love them, and they're very powerful, but I never bring them with me on vacation.
Yeah, I've brought them before, but I find I wind up not using them.
Exactly.
So it's just extra weight, and with the four lenses, that will be enough weight to be carrying around. I mean, most of the time, I'll be able to leave the gear in the car. You know, I'll have, like, the lens for each location and access to changing, but, you know, I don't want to be carrying around more than I need.
So today we've talked about why it's important to take a vacation.
Yes. Whether recharge those batteries.
Recharge those batteries, whether it's a 4-day, a 7-day, a 10-day, or 12-day. And if you're really lucky, you can take a lot longer one. And then, you know, what do you do when you're on vacation? What kind of things do you photograph? Why is it important to walk around with a minimal amount of gear? Because as we've said, it's you want to enjoy your vacation. You
right.
don't want to feel like you're working.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to feel like you're schlepping. You just want to be able to go make the images that you want to make, unwind your body, unwind your brain, and just enjoy yourself and have a wonderful time. And come back recharged, refreshed, so that you can go right back to work and start implementing some of those thoughts and ideas you may have had during your vacation time to maybe be able to move some of your business in a different direction. So everybody, thanks once again for listening to our podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, and happy shooting.